Cedric Muhammad.
Would you change anything?
I wouldn't change a thing.
You go through the same things. You
go through the same things, the prison and all. Because it was tough, but it brought me closer to my family. You know, from the outside looking in, I was able to, you know, just sit back and just see what was missing in my life. You know, the things that make me happy now. I didn't have that. I didn't have peace when I had all the money in the world. I didn't have peace in my life.
Have you found your peace?
Found peace is being around my family every day. You know, eliminating all the things in my life that, you know, was detrimental to me and my career and my family.
Out of prison, Michael Vick, looking for an opportunity to play in the National Football League. Picture surfaces Mike Vick with a drink in his hand. Yeah. Can you have a drink?
Yeah.
Should you be able to have a drink?
I can.
I'm saying, because of the microscope you're under.
But because of the microscope I'm under, and because, you know, what I'm out preaching and what I'm saying, you know, out in our communities to kids, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. You know, it wasn't. You know, I can have a drink at my own leisure when I want to, at my discretion. But, you know, you got to look at the picture that it paints. You know, and it wouldn't have been as big if somebody wouldn't have took it and, you know, blew it up. They still had no picture. You know, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, I learned my lesson from that. That there was an eye-opener. Like, listen, cut everything out. You know, just cut it all out.
All
you know, just... You cut it all out, they have nothing else to talk about, nothing else to say about you, unless you put yourself in harm's way. And I'm not going to do that.
There are going to be people who are not going to be thrilled to see you go out on the field. Do you hear them? Do you hear what they're saying? You hear what they're yelling?
I hear them, but, you know, I have to, you know, block that out.
When you come to the sideline, dude, they're going to be right here.
Yeah.
They're going to be right... You, I can't believe you.
A lot of people come to me and say, you know, well, you did your time and, you know, you deserve a second chance. So, you know, I just say thank you. You know, I don't really comment on it too much, but for the most part, you know, everybody's been cool. Let's just hope it stay that way. But, you know, I'm prepared for the worst.
These are lessons in maturity, folks. Let me give you another one. And then we'll take a break, and then I'll come back. I want to talk to you about how and why I love my female friends so much. T.O., listen to the maturity in this brother right here.
Panic time, indeed, for a Bills team that replaced its offensive coordinator in the preseason, only to have one unhappy big play wide receiver on its hands. Terrell Owens did not catch a pass in Sunday's loss to New Orleans, ending his streak of 185 straight games with a reception. After the game, as much as the media tried, T.O. would not actually say anything that could be construed as critical toward the team or the play calling.
Just going with the plays that are called.
Was it covers that they were doing out there that they hold you guys up? Or
what do you think?
You tell me you're out there.
I just said we're just going with the plays that are called.
Your frustration level right now?
I'm good. Just got to get ready for next week.
Joe, are you and Lee being wasted in this offense?
Guys, we're just going with the plays that are called.
You could say no right there and say that.
I'm just going with the plays that are called.
Do you like the plays that are called?
Whether I like them or don't, I'm just going with the plays that are called.
How about the decisions that are made after the plays are called? It's not always determined what happens. What do you think of the quarterback's decisions after the plays?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
I'm asking you what you think.
No, I don't want to answer
that. I'll ask him. I don't want to
answer that because whatever I say, you guys are going to turn it to however you want to say it.
Pretty exactly.
Well, I just answered you, sir.
As you might imagine, that post-game press conference did not sit all that well with Owens. He suggested that the line of questioning after the game was designed to provoke a controversial response and says he has finally learned from past experiences and encounters with the press, trying to put the press on him. On Monday, T.O. vented during an interview on Sporting News Radio.
This really just shows you the angle that the media has taken, you know, these years. And over the years, I've always kind of spoken openly about whatever's, you know, being asked and with my answers or whatnot. And so the last 4 or 5 years, I've kind of noticed that and tried to take some steps to prevent some of those things from happening. But yesterday, as you saw, it was obviously, they took some, more than initiative to try to get me to kind of go down the wrong path.
Meanwhile, the 1-2 Bills travel to Miami to face the Dolphins on Sunday. Their head coach, Dick Geron, has said, we'll definitely get him more involved in the offense.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Woo! I'm drinking this little tonic. Got a little cayenne in it. Gave me a little kick. Woo! That's some strong stuff. You gotta watch the cayenne pepper, folks. Woo. So anyway, let me get into what I wanted to rant about. I would say maybe around August 17th, right around the time of the last show, I got sick. I'll explain what it was a little later. I'm still not 100% at all. I was going to say I was 85%, but that term and that percentage has a negative connotation, so I was going to say 86%. But to be quite honest with you, I'm probably 75% like I was a month ago. A month, with an F, not TH. And I want to say that the reason why I'm bringing this up is two reasons. One, I want to talk about why we have to stop what I call the economy of favors or the economy of charity. There's a, and I've seen this with, and I've talked about this before. We did a show, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. I talked about five reasons, right, not to accept favors instead of business. Brick City is a good example of this. If you noticed during the documentary, people that want to do good have to become a nonprofit. They have to accept charity, and there's the involvement of white benefactors, which is cool. Nothing wrong with help from any people who have a righteous spirit and they want to support a good cause. But it is peculiar that anyone that wants to do something in the hood of value, you are directed and influenced to do it as a nonprofit. So I don't want the charity to stop. I want people to continue to give. I think that's how part of how you become a god is by sacrificing and denying yourself interest in a short-term way. I talk about this in my book, yes, The Entrepreneurial Secret, available next week, blackelectorate.com, October 7th. The other reason why I'm big on business, and the first reason is because I didn't finish my thought. The first reason is because business forces people to be accountable to you. If you allow a person to stay in a gray area, which is what charity and favors allow people to do, people can play games with deadlines. People can play games with quality and service delivery. People can play games with it's a way to even hide envy and jealousy. So I don't want to redo that show again. We can maybe revisit it. But business, the use of contracts, the reliance of trade and exchange, it is the key to forcing people to practice the golden rule. It's a key. I don't say it's the key. So some of you that know me very well, I'm getting away from favors. I don't even want to hear it. If you like me or you love me, or you are sympathetic to what I'm doing, I already know I can get a discount from you. I already know that you will work harder for me. I already know that there's goodwill. So there's no need for me to have you do something for free if I have the money. Because at the end of the day, I want us both to be able to rely on a consistent result and a standard that is bigger than the two of us. And that's reason number one. Reason number two is following the principles of business allows you to build an organization beyond yourself. I have a chapter in volume 2 of my new book series that talks about building your team. There's 9 personality types that you have to look out for: the gangster, the hustler, the engineer, the coordinator, the ideologue, and I explain the pros and cons. But one of the things that I have been guilty of, which I write about in my book, is doing too much myself. I'm going to repeat that because I know you all, it's a whole nation of you all out there with me. Doing too much yourself. Now, this is a touchy subject for people that I think are in religious communities or spiritual communities where you are taught to give unselfishly, lay down your life and sacrifice, which I believe is misunderstood. You should give your life, should lay down for a cause greater than you. That's one of the greatest ways you can show love for a person. You should sacrifice it all in a moment of truth. But living is not about dying. So you don't live your life in a way where you're always on the edge of death health-wise. You're always risking the quality of your personal relationships. That's not the whole definition of sacrifice. Some people, and I've been guilty of this, I talk about some of the stuff that happened when I was in the music business. Some people just leave everything aside in pursuit of a goal. That's why the coach from Texas Tech football, he was talking about people who are have neurosis. Or no, he said narcissism. You get so wrapped up in yourself that you neglect other people. I have a chapter. Hold on. Chapter, volume 3, The Personal Struggle, where I talk about how entrepreneurship affects your relationships with your intimate loved ones, family, friends, your inner circle. So there's a fine balance between selflessness and a self-enlightened interest. So you have to balance sacrifice with intention in the pursuit of exactly what you want. So it's a constant struggle and tension between being charitable, kind, selfless on one part, and then striving for something. Because you can have nothing but what you strive for. The Quran says that. Okay, so what I have been doing for maybe about 15 to 20 years is carrying loads, doing things on my own that a lot of other people could help with, but either because of me not letting them do that or me being oblivious to them or other people getting comfortable. Because I want to say this, if you're not following certain business principles, you create a cult of personality where people just want to be around you and watch you and root for you. And you create emotional dependencies where people actually will not do anything. Some of you may know it as the Michael Jordan effect. The other Bulls could have helped out Michael, but it was just so much fun, so much more fun watching Michael do everything himself. So when I got sick and I was on my back for 1 week straight, I mean, literally in bed, it was the women. People kept, you know, emailing me, texting me, expecting me to turn around things and help them with things. But I just was not responsive. And what struck me, and this is what I said earlier, what struck me was how little or how few people actually said, are you okay? Or actually asked, is everything all right? I mean, it did not even occur to people. And these were not mean-spirited people. It did not even occur to people to ask, are you okay? The concept of me being sick or me not giving 100% for any reason did not even cross people's minds. So it was my five female friends. I would call them the five horsemanettes. You know, the four horsemen. These are like the five horsemanettes. These are my friends. It was the women. It was not the men who showed a genuine concern. Well, no, Glenn from Philly. I had to say this now. Glenn from Philly. I think he thought I was about to check out. Glenn from Philly. I must give him a round. Standing over him. So I'm not saying this for any personal attention. I'm trying to make a point about two things. One, business principles where other people are forced to do things around you because they are held accountable in a contractual relationship or there's clearly defined expectations. And that's a lot of what business revolves around. We need more of that in poor, oppressed communities. We need less charity. We need less favors. Too much of a gray area for people to play games with. So my female friends held me down. These are the real standing ovation sound effects. I'm going to say their names. Some of them may be embarrassed. I'll just say one lives in Illinois. One lives in North Carolina. One lives in Virginia. One lives in Maryland. One lives in Africa. Matter of fact, my friend in Africa, she was probably the most concerned in terms of expressive of it, the most expressive in her concern. So guys, let me talk to the men. I know they look good. But man, if you have to pick between whether you have a romantic interest in someone or whether they are a friend, pick the friendship, man. I'm telling you, when you are on your back, you will not be thinking about anything romantic. So, a good friend, particularly a female, someone who will listen to you, someone who will by nature want to console or provide comfort, and someone who will be honest with you. I had a friend on Friday. She told me during our meeting, she said, you look tired. No dude is going to tell me that. A guy is not going to tell you you look tired. You had to be on with the IVs coming out in ICU with the morphine drip before a dude will actually say, you all right, man? So we can talk more about the principles. If you have a good friend of the opposite sex, let me know. It could be male, female, female, male. But what I wanted to also say was that, particularly for the men, even if you have an interest in a female, keep in mind, you can't marry the world. So something that I came up with about 15 years ago was, because I'm not going to marry all of them, I want to leave each of them better than I found them. Boom. Let me say that one more time. That was a hotline I came up with when I was helping at Bad Boy Records. Since I can't be with all of them, I want to leave each one better than when I found them. That has been my litmus test with any female that's been in my life. Did I help to leave her life better than I found it? Okay? So I think, you know, you had to ask them that, but I think I've done fairly well. Any women have an opinion on this subject? I would love to hear it. But the women have held me down. And it's just been beautiful. There's certain truths that I needed to hear about the pace that I keep. That I appreciate them for. So, you know, I will shout you out, by name. Some of them listen to the show if you want, but I didn't want to embarrass you. So all the men out there, I want to play a song for you. You're going to have to get away from this kind of thinking. It's a brother, Keith Sweat. He's the one that had you thinking that you had to date every one of your female friends. We're going to head into hour number two. Keith Sweat, a man that could not accept just being friends. I'm just saying, if there's a little romantic interest there, fine, but the friendship matters more is what I'm saying. Don't listen to this.
Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Said ask you. Yeah, no, if she says no, be happy for the friendship. Don't want to be more than friends.
Just like you.
is a bad move. He's putting everything on the line. Don't listen to this, guys. He's blowing it right now. She was just gonna come over and check on him. This is how you, many of us have gone down on this one. If you have a story of a attempt to romanticize one of your friends that went bad and it was a mistake, let me know. Friendship, man. Opposite sex friendship is the best.
It's like 10 minutes to 10 on Wednesday. Just was calling you because you were on my mind and in my thoughts. And I hope all is good with you, that you are resting and eating well and taking care of yourself. Because if you don't do it, who else is going to want to do it, right? I'm in the car. I'm headed. And I just wanted to call you. I knew I was going to get your voicemail anyway, because I never get you when I first call you. I don't know what the dilly is with that, but it's all good. Hit me up whenever you get a chance. Call, text, or email. Just let me know how you are, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye.
Gives me the strength to bang out and make these songs. If I do it on the spot or if it takes me long, they can't stop me. Even if my break was on, I'm still, I'm always here. Nobody's perfect. Life ain't always fair. I used to not give a f-. I ain't always care. When it's too hot for the hammer, you know the hawk is right. Until you get to the car, you gotta get through the D before you get to the R. If I don't get you today, then I'ma get you tomorrow. As soon as you come out your crib, I'ma be right where I'm supposed to be, close to you, with the toast close to me. And
Cedric Muhammad.
Where Floyd stands by 1 week after his conquest of Juan Manuel Marquez. And Floyd, your performance, its effectiveness, exceeded even the most optimistic expectations of your greatest admirers at ringside. I have to wonder if you were even better than you thought you would be.
I felt good last Saturday. And the main thing that I wanted to do was just go out and display my skills and just be the best that I can be in the sport of boxing. And, after the two-year layoff, I came back. But I think I could still improve, and I feel that I still can get better.
Our experts, Emmanuel Stewart and Max Kellerman, both thought you might have been going for a knockout in the ninth or tenth round. I wasn't really sure. I thought you were just fighting your fight. What was it?
I was pressing the attack, but Marquez is a very solid opponent. He's tough, and he wouldn't go down for nothing. So, hopefully in our next fight, we can get the knockout.
And incidentally, tracking at apparently over 1 million pay-per-view buys, so I guess you made your point there as well.
Well, I'm just blessed, and I just want to say thank you to all the fans that tuned in and bought pay-per-view. I appreciate the support. Mayweather Promotions is going to continue to keep moving forward. We're looking for some young and upcoming fighters, And I let my team handle everything. Leonard and Al Haymon has done a tremendous job with Mayweather Promotions and done a tremendous job with my career. It felt good working back with my father, and it felt good working with my Uncle Roger Mayweather also.
All right, as we get ready to look at the future, we want to go back to the moment when Shane Mosley either intruded or was invited into your post-fight interview. And I want to set this up. Our viewers are going to see you motioning Shane toward you. And I'm also told by people who sat on his side of the ring.
I can see that they already... Well, they was already setting that up. I can see that, Bernard Hopkins told Shane Mosley to get in the ring and, be disrespectful. But like I said before, you know, Shane Mosley is a good fighter. I wish him nothing but the best in his career. And only thing I want to do is continue just to be the best that I could be in my career.
I'll tell you what, I think we can dispense with looking back at what happened last week because you've said what you have to say about Shane Mosley. Other future possible opponents would include Manny Pacquiao if he beats Miguel Cotto, Cotto if he beats Pacquiao, Mosley himself. Where do you lean? The most money is the Pacquiao fight.
Well, it's really, like I said before, it's not about the money. It's for the love of the sport. You know, I love the sport of boxing, but of course, it got to make business sense. And in 1999, we tried to fight Shane 10 years ago. He turned the fight down. And then in 2006, when he fought Fernando Vargas, right after the fight, he said that he had a toothache and he wanted to go on vacation with his family. I guess now that he's 38 and his career is kind of coming to an end, and everybody know they can make, you know, huge money with Floyd Mayweather. You know, everybody is shooting shots at me. But I wish Shane Mosley nothing but the best in his career.
I got one more question. Everybody thought for months the fight was going to take place at 144 by an arrangement that was made at the last minute. You weighed in at 146. Are you finished with catchweights?
Well, any fight over 140 is a watchweight fight.
I agree.
I didn't want to fight and feel comfortable. And I also want to apologize to you, Jim, and Larry Merchant, with Stewart and Kellerman, you know, for what happened.
Floyd, we accept your apology. You know, we're observers of your career with interest and tremendously excited by everything you've accomplished and what we look forward to in the future.
I truly apologize, but I just want to continue to keep fighting. You know, like I said before, Leonard and Al handles my business outside the ring. When it's time to get inside that square circle, that's why I take care of my business.
All right, congratulations again on a triumphant return to the fort.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program, September 30th, 2009. Listen, I knew Money May had been doing a good job, the team over there with the marketing science. But if you are in front of a computer, I want you to look up on the screen. Let me zoom in on this a little bit clearer for you. I was in the Safeway. By the way, we're going to talk about Safeway. Safeway has adjusted their marketing strategy. They are now trying to be what I call the low-cost provider. That means the cheapest in the game. Big science and why Safeway now is promoting themselves as a discount grocery store. But look up. I was in the Safeway around the way. I saw Floyd Money May on the cover of Men's Fitness magazine. And in case you didn't know, that's in supermarkets all across the country. I'm not sure what their circulation is. So I just want to talk a little bit this hour about the mainstreaming of Floyd Money Mayweather, what you can learn about this for your own life as you try to position yourself with a broader audience. I learned a lot of these principles when I was with Wu-Tang. I've seen a lot of these things as it relates to the way Minister Farrakhan has grown in popularity outside of just the black community. This is a principle that anyone needs to be concerned with. It boils down to this: two things. Having the knowledge of the current demand for your product and the emerging demand. The current demand for boxing is always going to be the diehard folks like me who watch boxing because we love the sport, do some type of training ourselves and some martial art. But that's just the nucleus, the inner core. If you look at why Jay-Z, any hip-hop artist, has been able to reach a certain level of success, 500,000 records sold, 1 million records sold, it's because they've been able to mainstream or become mainstream. People cross over to them, perhaps without them compromising their principles. Sometimes people go too far in trying to mainstream themselves, trying to appeal to an audience that's not their core. So the ultimate balancing act in politics, and when I worked with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, this was a big issue. How to make Cynthia McKinney an appealing candidate to more than just the black community in DeKalb County, Georgia. So we worked on this. Economics, her talking about entrepreneurship and economics was a big part of why she was able to appeal to a broader audience. But not just that, it was a way for her to neutralize her worst enemies who wanted to keep her just talking about Iraq and the Israeli lobby.
Cedric Muhammad.